The following contest is scheduled for one fall. Please welcome Mr. Freds.
How's it going, everybody? This is King Ricky Rose, your general manager and host of Kings of the Rings podcast, and it's time to kick it a little old school and go back in time with the WrestleMania podcast exclusively here on Wrestle Addict Radio, The Cure, for the Common Wrestling Podcast.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 148. Of the WrestleMania podcast. I am the North American treasurer, your second favorite Canadian, and the CEO of Chiefs Kingdom North, Mr. Fretz. Back-to-back Super Bowls, baby. Today, I am joined by someone who could win a Super Bowl someday. It is, of course, Cute Kyle from the Abram Bump podcast. I'm recording this right before Valentine's Day, so he's my Valentine first. Sorry, Miss Softest. Part of the ring. Kyle, how are you doing?
You're busting my cherry today, I guess. Now I'm doing good, man. Glad to be back on. I didn't know Canadians watched NFL. I thought you were primarily a CFL kind of land.
Oh no, CFL is like the NFL's younger brother up here. We do have our extremely passionate fans, especially Hamilton Tiger Cats. A lot of people in my area love the Ticats, despite the fact we live a bit closer to Toronto. That's a different story. Go Argos. Today we're reviewing No Way Out 2000. This is, of course, a historic event for many reasons, including Mae Young and Mark Henry and, of course, Cactus Jack and Triple H. But like every other retro pay-per-view PLE review, I like to do a little bit of a pop culture rewind. You want to hear what was going on in the world at that point in time?
I would love to. Pre-9/11.
Yeah, yes, by about a year and a half. I, of course, have to start with some WCW favorite news, and this is WCW 2000. So, Kyle, my friend, you're in for a treat. Mm. We have the artist formerly known as Prince Iaukea, accompanied by Paisley, Queen Charmel, beat Lash LaRue for the vacant Cruiserweight Championship. Brian Knobbs, with Fit Finley for some reason, beat Bam Bam Bigelow for the Hardcore title. Three Count beat Norman Smiley in a handicap match. The Wall Brother beat the Kiss Demon. Oh, Kiss Demon. Tank Abbott beat Big Al. And who's Big Al? Al Green, former NFL player turned pro wrestler. Oh, this next one, this is right up our alley. We should review this. Big T, that being Ahmed Johnson with Stevie Ray and Clarence Mason, defeated Booker for ownership of the Harlem Heights franchise and the letter T.
The letter T? Who did somebody add T to their name?
I'm guessing Big T is going to have Big TT to his name now.
Well, was the T on a pole, though, is the question.
No, but something else was. I think this one had a leather jacket on a pole match. That was the Tank Abbott match. So we were off by one.
This all sounds like, you know, when you're playing Universe Mode in WWE 2K and you just let it simulate for a year and you just have a bunch of random shit. That's what that sounds like. WCW 2000. What a treat.
Oh, man. God bless Mance, one of our former podcasters here. He went through almost this whole run. How he did it, I don't know, because we had Booker T defeated Vampiro. That actually sounds like a good match.
Yeah.
The Mama Luke's Big Vito, who is quite a good follow on Instagram these days.
Is he? Is he still wearing the dress?
Sometimes.
Only on Valentine's Day.
Yes. Johnny the Bull and Big Vito, the Mamalukes, retained the tag team championships against David Flair and Crowbar, another good social media follow, for the tag titles. Ric Flair beat Terry Funk in a Texas death match. Hulk Hogan beat Lex. Hulk Hogan and Lex Luger sounds fun. Of course, Hulk Hogan had to win because that doesn't work for me, brother. Oh, and Sid Vicious, actually one of my low-key favorites of all time, beat Scott Hall and Jeff Jarrett with the Harris Twins in a three-way dance for the world title. Ugh, I need a palate cleanser. Yeah. Our movies. Oh, man. Speaking of palate cleansers, an extremely goofy movie.
I never saw it.
It's late 90s cheese. It's very, very fun. If you like the original Goofy movie, which one of my favorite Disney movies ever, very good.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. It has a lot of tie-in with the X Games where Max is in college. He goes for the X Games. Goofy gets laid off because he doesn't have a degree. And he goes to Max's college. And I'm your dad. And family stuff ensues.
Well, he sold it for me. I'm going to leave this call. I'm going to go watch that movie, actually. So,
okay. It's like 90 minutes. You'll be back in time for NXT. You're good to go.
Oh, okay. Good.
We had Scream 3. Nev Campbell did it.
Jeez, three by 2000 already?
Yep.
I didn't realize how old that movie was.
It was like 97, I think.
Man, they were just popping those out year after year, huh?
Just like Final Destinations, which I think there's going to be one this year. The Tigger movie, I said T.I.
Easy, Booker, easy.
Booker, don't come after me, Booker.
Don't come after him like you were coming for Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yes. And Snow Day.
Snow Day. What is snow? I know snow dogs. Snow Day sounds familiar, though.
I think it's kind of like Recess, but with people, basically. And it's a snow day. It's a snowball fight against the teachers and whatnot. And Kyle, what's your favorite snow day memory?
Well, you see, here in Virginia, we don't really get a lot of snow. I can't remember the last time I've seen snow here, honestly. Back in the day, we got a little more. I was always taught to eat the yellow snow, so that's always a delicious treat whenever there's a snow day. Snowmen. It was always surprising to me how heavy like snowballs are. You know, you see them like TV shows and stuff, you can just like pick them up, but you forget it's like ice. It's like a big thing. You can't just throw a snowman around, you know, if you want to have sex with it or you want to, you know, punch it or something. Like kids do, you know, just kids joshing around.
Oh, yeah. And it depends on like the firmness, like the consistency of the snow. If it's just like puffy stuff, which was just falling out here earlier today, it's not very packable. So you can't do stuff with it. And it'll melt the second you hit the ground because it's like 2 degrees Celsius over here right now.
Yeah, it's not as packable as Mae Young is. Am I right or am I wrong, fellas?
Oh, we'll get to Mae Young. And in music, speaking of Mae Young, we got DMX's Up In Here. Y'all gonna make me lose my mind.
24 years that song is. That's wild.
That takes me back to high school, and I'm my Canadian is showing. Sorry, and I apologize. Sorry. Much music video dances. And I was on student council this year, so I got to organize all this shit.
Much, what is this?
Canadian MTV.
Oh. So it's just like, who's a Canadian artist? Nickelback. Isn't that's my go-to.
I was gonna go Drake, but Drake was like, he's like my age, I think. So he was probably, he was acting on, bloody hell, what's that school show?
Degrassi. I think Degrassi. This is pre-Degrassi, actually. 2000? I don't think that was like 2004 or something. I could be wrong.
Well, there was the Degrassi from the 90s, but the next generation, right. Yeah, that's after this. We had Nelly's Country Grammar, Faith Hill's The Way You Love Me, and Horn, Make Me Bad.
Man, video game music was good.
Oh, I know. They call it butt rock, but I love Creed. I like all those bands. If you haven't seen that Paramount Plus commercial with Creed and Picard and Hey Arnold, phenomenal stuff.
Hell yeah. And I'm going to go see Creed this summer. Fun fact. Going to be a good old time.
I hate you.
I'm sure they're going to come up there. Maybe not.
Yeah, and during the busiest part of the season for me,
I'm on a tour. You don't understand.
Yeah, that's why I'm not going to Money in the Bank. I'm pissed. And it's in Toronto.
Damn.
Video games, Pokemon Stadium, and Resident Evil Code Veronica. I don't know if either of those stand out, but they're there.
Not particular. I mean, they're both major franchises, so that's something.
Indeed they are. And I wrote down here, I forgot it, Super Brawl. James Brown did a skit with Ernest the Cat Miller because, of course, I don't know.
Why wouldn't you? Yeah, it's just money waiting to be made.
And it's all the money that you were paying Michael Buffer every friggin' week. No wonder you went bankrupt.
Don't get me started on Michael Buffer, stupid asshole.
Bruce Buffer's better.
Yeah, agreed.
Anyways, here we had Hartford, Connecticut, February 27th, year 2000, in front of 12,500 fans and an approximate 480,000 buy rate. I know the answer to this, Kyle, but you weren't watching at this point in time yet, right?
I was. I was like easing into wrestling. I think I was 6 years old, about to be 7 at this point. So it was like on in the background type of thing. I don't think I watched this pay-per-view live. But I was definitely into the product at this time. Just WWF, not WCW or anything else.
Yeah, they were really circling the drain, but we had no pre-show. We had Sunday Night Heat was just interviews. We got no dark matches. We're leading right into our first match. Kurt Angle versus Chris Jericho for the Intercontinental title. And I am going to drink to that one.
Yeah, I mean, you look at this whole card on paper, it's just Hall of Famer after Hall of Famer, banger after banger. Well, some of them are bangers, but a lot of talent on this card. And this opening match definitely set the tone pretty well.
Absolutely. And Kurt is the new European champion, having beat Val Venus on SmackDown just a couple of weeks previous to this. And then he challenged Y2J on Raw, the most previous Raw that I reviewed on the podcast. And he said that once I beat Chris Jericho, I will become your Euro Continental champion. Kyle, can you name the other Euro Continental champions?
Is it Down with the Brown, D'Lo Brown?
It is.
I just got dizzy shaking my head like that. I don't know how he does that.
Ooh. Do you know the other? There's another one.
There's one more? Euro Continental. Is it when they merged at the end?
Well, I was going to say it technically is not recognized, but it is that. But somebody beat D'Lo Brown at a major PLE in 99 for both of those titles. And I'll say right now he is still wrestling and he is in AEW.
Oh, interesting. Christian? No.
No.
Edge?
Also, no, they were actually on Tag Team Turmoil on that card. Jeff Jarrett.
I forget Jeff Jarrett's in AEW. Man, the entire Attitude Era is there. Seems like
it's the Attitude Era and like mid-2000s TNA.
Right. They're all still in good shape, though. A lot of those guys are like in better shape now than they were 20 years ago, which is crazy.
That's DDP yoga for you a lot of them. Like, especially Edge and Christian.
Well, and maybe Chris Jericho should get on that DDP, you know what I'm saying?
Like, listen, I'm a chonky guy, but Chris, come on. I love you because you're Canadian.
You're technically powerful.
Oh, come on. Once I beat Chris Jericho and become your Eurocontinental champion, unlike your Hartford Whalers, like your Hartford Whalers, I too will be leaving Connecticut. Don't push the Whalers button in Connecticut. That's a touchy subject. It's like the Sonics button in Seattle. And when that Raw happened, that's when I realized the Seattle Supersonics weren't a team. Hartford Whalers, long story short, former NHL franchise, they're the Carolina Hurricanes now.
Oh, the more you know.
I don't think you're not a hockey guy, right, Kyle?
No, I like going to watch it live every now and again, but I don't really follow it, on a week-to-week basis or anything. But I enjoy the sport.
It's fun. And yeah, Carolina, they do Whalers Night once in a while in Raleigh, where they just break out the brass bonanza and the green shirts. They're really nice jerseys. I have like a shirt over here, but I'm not digging for it. And unlike the Whalers, I will return. Ouch. Kind of comes out with her bazooka, the best entrance in No Mercy. I'm going to put it right there. And Y2J just calls him a jackass. And your three eyes are idiot, imbecile, and ignoramus. He calls himself the bad mamma jamma.
Yeah. Oh, man, Chris Jericho from the very beginning. It's just, let me throw this nickname at the wall and see if it gets over. Oh, that stinks. Let me try a new one. Here's a new Ayatollah Rockarola, legend, living legend, and they all stink. Chris Jericho stinks.
Except anyone, like anyone born before the 1980s, doesn't know what the Ayatollah is. I'm knocking on the door of 40, and I don't remember the Ayatollah. I guess it was like the Bin Laden of the 80s, but we had a good match.
Sure.
Let's just say that anyone who's older than me that's listening to this, first off, congratulations. Hit me up. I'm probably wrong.
Take your pills.
I already took mine this morning. I'm good to go. So we got a good back and forth match, a lot of good technical raps here, a lot of techers, if you will. Good amateur wrestling, good dungeon trainee wrestling here, going back and forth. Eventually, China is sent into the steps, and referee Tim White goes in and checks on her. And unbeknownst to Chris, Kurt Angle was lying on the mat after like a face crusher or an offensive move here. He has the title in his hands. Chris Jericho goes up for the lion salt, right smack into that title. I love that finish. I thought it was very creative. We have a new Eurocontinental champion in the opening match, and they say throughout the rest of the show that titles changing hands is going to be an ongoing theme. Oh, I wonder what it builds to. Kyle, how'd you like this?
Yeah, it was good. It was very interesting because both these guys are still very fresh in the company. I mean, Jericho's been there for like a year, roughly, I think, maybe even less than that. And
Bitless.
Kurt's only been there for like what, 2 or 3 months at this point. So like very early iterations of both these guys. And you can kind of, because I've been consistently watching 2003 WWE, and it's amazing how just in a matter of years, how much these guys will evolve. Like on the mic and in the ring and all of that. But even that being said, really fun match. It was interesting seeing Kurt. I guess this is before the ankle lock. So there's a point where Kurt locked in an arm bar to try to get a tap out, which is funny to see him playing around with different submission moves. But yeah, I agree. It's a creative finish, a cheeky finish by Kurt Angle, who is this annoying milk drinking asshole, just collecting all the titles, can't beat him. And yeah, this is a fun way to start the show, I thought.
It's a gonna be a trend going on with our titles, and we have next up here the Dudley Boys versus the New Age Outlaws for the tag titles. This is a big clashing of the eras. Like, we're still smack dab in the Attitude Era, but depending on who you ask, we're getting towards the end. Although, my opinion, when they get the F out, if you catch my drift, that's
I
where it
do.
ends. The Dudley Boys are getting interviewed backstage, and they're showing a recap here where there was a really innovative bit where Billy Gunn somehow managed to hit the Famaster through a table.
That
I
was
don't know.
wild.
Like,
Because
did
he
you like leap off the rope, or did you get a lot of height and just he squatted over the table? I couldn't catch what was going on.
It felt like a video game, like a early 2000s, late 90s wrestling video game, because Bubba was standing on top of the table, which the fact that the table could hold Bubba Ray Dudley at this point is amazing. But he's bent over, and then Billy jumps like at least 6 feet, I don't know, to do a Famouser while he's standing on the table from the ground. Very impressive. I don't remember that spot really, but that was a treat to watch in the build up to this.
It was incredible. And they have two words for you. 3D.
That's three words, I think, actually. It's like probably death, drop.
So the word three, not the number. This episode of Fretzelmania is brought to you by Sesame Street, especially with the whole Booker T letter T thing from earlier.
We got a
clash of styles here. We got the multi-time ECW tag team champions against the multi-time WWE tag team champions. Billy Gunn is going in. I think he was going into this with an injured shoulder. It's something that we would see later, but this is going to be the last we see of Billy Gunn until he becomes the one.
Who could forget?
I don't forget that entrance theme. I got it all. We got early iterations of the Bubba Bomb and the Wazzup headbutt. I guess without the weather, because I think that Bud commercial wasn't aired quite yet.
I think that was a Super Bowl commercial. Am I right or wrong on that one? I want to say it was a Super Bowl commercial, which might have been like a week before this. Literally, so Wazzup might have been just created to the point where it literally could have been like the next week they started the Wazzup thing, because I don't think it had caught on really yet.
It really caught on in summer 2000. And no, I did look it up, but the Super Bowl that was a previous to this, I think it was the Rams.
Rams and Patriots, I think.
No, I think it was like the Rams and the Ravens. I'm probably dead wrong. I just glanced that on Google while we were figuring out our audio here, but yeah, it could have been a Super Bowl commercial, or it just could have been just a commercial that came out, much like the frogs with Budweiser. So early iterations of the Bubba Bomb, the Wazzup, Bubba Ray, and then through a back and forth match with all these offensive maneuvers, lays pipe on Billy.
Hey, now, come on. That's crass.
He hits him in the, well, he hit with him like in the arm. Yeah. That's what he calls his pipe.
Yeah, it was a lot of piping on this show, actually. There are several matches where we see piping happening.
Yeah, there's an L pipe a little later on in the show, which reminded me of that episode of King of the Hill, Drew Carey.
Right. Yeah, cool. They had to diversify their hardware, you see.
The Home Depot only had so many, right? So
good point.
And they couldn't dig into the overstock and go in the back room because it wasn't a delivery day. How can you tell I'm a grocery clerk?
Right.
Oh, 3D and new tag team champions, the Dudley Boys, by the way. Big passing of the torch moment here. And the tag team division is here. I've been saying it for weeks because the APA is open for business. The Hardys and the Edge and Christian are having their feud. We'll get to them in just a minute. We got the Dudley Boys on the rise. We even got Bossman and Albert trying to figure out their tag team wrestling, but they would both find respective tag team partners, I should say. Actually, like Trish Stratus is like 2 weeks away from debuting at this point in time.
Right.
So we're going to see some TNA here, but speaking of TNA, we got Mae Young. Not before Kurt Angle is out celebrating with the people. Probably also some TNA. Probably has some flashers there. There was no cameras there. Much like the cameras went away from the half streakers at the Super Bowl. It was probably just Jason Kelce, because it was a dude with no shirt on and track pants. It was probably Jason Kelce. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, that checks out.
And, you know, he was having a good time. That guy gives me body positivity, because I'm a burly guy myself. But
see, you could be a Super Bowl champion. I could be a Super Bowl champion if we tried hard enough and if we just married a pop star.
Oh, yeah. My Taylor Swift Chief jersey is coming in the mail soon. So let's.
There you go.
We got a good love story here. It's Mark Henry and Mae Young. Mae Young, of course, at this point in time is pregnant.
God bless her. I guess that menopause hasn't hit yet.
And not getting menopause at 77, or her. I mean, my God, that's just.
What a genetic freak this Mae Young is.
That doesn't sound pleasant. Mark Henry's going up here against Viscera. Throughout the coming weeks here, we had Mark and Mae Young having a romantic getaway at a honeymoon suite. That was just last week. And, you know, there was the fruit roll-up underpants. There was the roses and the chocolates and the romance, and them announcing their pregnancy, much to the horror of D'Lo Brown and the Godfather and Jerry the King Lawler, who probably threw up in his crown.
Right.
I love this era, and especially with Mae Young, to sideburn here quickly. Whenever she took bumps, she would tell the guys, like, don't you fucking go easy on me because I'm a woman. Bring it, or I'll kick your ass. And Bubba Ray Dudley's like, yep, yep, yes, ma'am, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And
because you're a woman, it's because you're made of glass, ma'am. But continue.
And, you know, Bubba Ray Dudley does the super power bomb, and apparently she broke wind on him. Well, if you landed like that on your tuchus, it's going to happen. Oh, and by the way,
what do you think it smells like?
Like an egg ate garlic and farted in a sulfur pit.
Okay. That's very vivid.
That's an American Dad quote for you guys. So, Mark, Viscera, and May. Kyle, fuck, marry, kill.
Ooh. Now, are they letting me kill them, or do I have to, like, fight to kill them?
Probably the latter.
Okay. I guess I could use a gun. Fuck, marry, kill. I'm gonna kill
American.
I'll kill Viscera. God, I want to say fuck Mae Young, but Mark Henry just feels like he smells good. It feels like he's a very soft and generous lover as well, especially in this era. Sexual chocolate. And Mae Young, I mean, she just looks like she can cook up a mean dinner. So in the long term, I think it makes more sense to marry Mae Young, fuck Mark Henry, and kill Viscera.
Pretty much takes the words out of my mouth here. I'm kind of with you. Mark's a tender heart. He looks like a big teddy bear.
Now, if we're talking Viagra era Viscera, then might throw a monkey wrench into the whole thing. But
you'll have to listen to the U.S. variant of the Ruthless Aggression podcast for that. They actually dropped a bit of Viagra this week. I'm way behind on my podcast, so I'll get there in a couple of months. So Mae Young is pregnant here and getting splashed. We got a big meaty men bumping meat match here, a biggie wet dream, just this match.
Oh, yeah.
But then the damn bell rang. And I was going to say, this is agile for a big man, because that wheel kick, even though he didn't really leave his feet, in his prime, as you've seen in the New Gen era, Mabel can go.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, for his size, I mean, he's just huge at this point. But yeah, that wheel kick, it's like, I don't know where his center of gravity is. He just like spins like where he's standing and kicks him somehow. It's very impressive, but I don't know. This is a guilty pleasure style of match for me, even if they're not particularly like techer, you know. But I like just two big men, two girthy lads in there just like having a go. You're never going to get a thumbs down from me.
No. But the body slam that Mark Henry used for a finish, that's being generous. Yeah, that was pretty ugly. I thought, like, I read in the wiki, like, oh, it's a power slam. I'm like, that's a body slam. And if that wasn't good, but
I mean, he's 700 pounds at this point, Viscera? Yes, I'll give it to him.
Maybe five. He's not Yokozuna.
Oh, that's right. I always get them confused.
No, we know Yoko died like 5 months after this, and he was enormous. Like, God bless him, yeah. But my God. Backstage, we got Chris Jericho. Speaking of getting things over, he's talking about, you know, whatever's between me and Kirk Angel is not done. Mm. And then Billy Gunn, I don't know what noise he was making, but his shoulder hurts. And we're not going to
replicate
see him
the noise.
Like, hey, yeah, 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 yeah. So he's either trying to cosplay as Tatanka. Yeah. And do the yeah. I'm not going to do that. That's cultural. I'm not doing that. I'm not getting. That's not something I'm going to get canceled for.
Hey, I'm 1/48th Native American, so I think that gives you the pass.
Off mic.
That's where it goes down. Offline.
Yeah, on Patreon when I restore it. So
there we go.
Our next match here is for the number one contendership at WrestleMania.
Or is it?
It's the Hardy Boys versus Edge and Christian. Oh man, strap in. Speaking of strap in, Terry's back.
She can strap on and peg me in the keister. That's where you were going, right?
Yeah, sure.
There we go.
And of course, Jerry has an O on the air. Yahoo, puppies! Woohoo! I'm glad to see her back.
Peeking at me.
I'm glad to see her back and her front too. Okay, I'll give him that. That was funny.
Yeah, see, he gets one in every now and then.
That's brass. That's funny. King being super horny as he always is, and out comes the APA, who Terry has hired for protection during this match. We know that she was recently put through the table by the Dudley Boys and was not having a good time. Yeah, Bubba's giving everyone wood at this point in time. I want to know what pill he's on, and I'll DM my address. So
I mean, back then you had to work to get those pills. Now you can just text a number and it's at your doorstep.
Or you can just get a promo code, Blue Chew. I mean, I'm willing.
There you go.
So we get the APA and not the college essay format. I'm sorry for triggering psychology students here, but I just hear APA and I had a minor in psych.
Thank you for clarifying. I'm sure there's a ton of writers very confused yelling at their radios.
Yeah, maybe people who went to my school, but they wouldn't be listening to this. You get a double leg drop, the shirts go off, and the barometric pressure and the moisture increases in the room tenfold. And I wrote down here, this is a match we're going to see in 2024, the Hardys and Edge and Christian.
Yeah, it's possible. They're all there. I mean, I wouldn't doubt it.
I wouldn't book it, but I wouldn't doubt it, especially after seeing Jeff in recent weeks. Just,
I mean, they've Tony Khan's booked worse, so there's nothing stopping them.
Oh no, V1 here is talking trash. We got a poetry in motion, bunch of great tag team maneuvers here, as you would get from both of these tag teams. Jeff with a moonsault. Jeff is tagged in, goes for a top rope nothing. We get the edging Christian. I think they get a low blow at this point in time. We get a mid-air bomb in a pop-up position from Edge from like a drop kick, I think. It was a really good spot. And then Terry jerks Edge off the ropes, slaps Matt.
Excuse me?
Christian gets
the... What, the Edge? I missed that part.
I said shoved. I didn't say jerk. Christian gets the unprettier impaler kill switch. And then Terry turns on the Hardys. Edge and Christian look confused, but they're going to WrestleMania. Or are they?
Mm-hmm. Well, how was that? Are, I guess. Yeah, it was fun. I mean, like you said, this is like the tag team division's heating up at this point. Maybe for like a year, it'd be pretty good. And then it kind of died off again. But obviously two of the foundation pillars here early on in their runs. Are they both babyface at this point?
Yes.
Because that was an interesting aspect too, because like both of them were kind of being a little nefarious with, you know, ref distractions and coming in without getting tagged. So that level of competitiveness between the two, I thought was fun. And like the Edge catching Jeff in the spear in midair to counter the poetry in motion, little foreshadowing to WrestleMania 17 was fun. So yeah, I mean, this was my go-to when I started watching wrestling, was the Hardys, Edge and Christian, the Dudleys. So big fan of this for sure.
And this tag team division is on the rise. They're interviewed by Frosted Tips, Michael Cole backstage. We're going to WrestleMania. There's a little bit of confusion about Terry, but it's like, hey, you know what, whatever. Terry's basically a non-factor, and we're going on here. There's a lot of retconning going on in this show, and I'm going to get into that in a few weeks. Speaking of retconning, it's the big show's Royal Rumble finish, showing Lillian Garcia how to finish Rumble match. Uh-huh. And he guarantees a win here, and we always see it from the back, like the Rumble finish, and we never see a good what's the word I'm looking for? Solid kind of from the front end. And he's like, oh yeah, Tim Dodson. You know, that security guard that looks like Julian from the Trailer Park Boys, big jacked up guy. Mm-hmm. He knows what's up. And as we'll see in the build to that match, he's like, yeah, Rocky's feet touched first. So we get a Royal Rumble 2000, spoiler alert, yeah, a Rumble 2000, Rumble 94, in another one where two guys tried to go down on the bottom of the floor at the same time, and I don't know who, but somebody tore both their quads in that match, but that's the name's drawing a blank. I don't know who.
I think it was
Ted Turner.
Ted Turner, yes. It was on the tip of my tongue. I knew it.
Yes. Speaking of things being on the tip of your tongue, Taz, but I digress.
He would fit there, right? Because he's tiny. What?
Yeah, exactly. Against the big boss, man. It's Taz, but I digress. Botchamania memes galore here. He is attacked on heat before their match, and this match is just very, very quick, very nothing. Clothesline, T-bone, Taz mission, but before Bossman could get the submission, Albert interferes. We get a disqualification. They continue to beat down Taz, who continues to get back up.
Yeah, it was like what a month is a month after Taz's debut to much fanfare, and now he's in a 20-second match, which I get it. The match isn't really the story here; it's the aftermath, the 2-on-1 beatdown, Taz not staying down. I get what they're trying to do and build up Taz's, I guess, his perseverance, his the kind of attitude that he has, but went on a little long for my taste. The aftermatch beatdown, I think it would have been better served to let Taz beat up Bossman a little bit during the match and then do a little thing after, but ultimately, it's like you said, it didn't really do a lot for me, so unfortunate that Taz never really got the spotlight he in WWE that he did in ECW.
That, and I think around this time, I think physically he was running it. He only would wrestle full-time for about another year and a half. And right. I think physically he was run down. We got our next match here. X-Pac versus Kane. No holds barred. My favorite Hulk Hogan movie. Kyle, what's yours?
You know, I don't know if I've actually seen any Hulk. I've seen Rocky. I don't know if that counts, though. Rocky 3, is that the one he was in?
He's in it.
That might be the only Hulk Hogan movie I've seen. I don't know. Should I watch No Holds Barred? Is it worth a watch?
It's perfect 80s cheese, just straight up. It's Debo versus Hulk Hogan in the cage.
Mm.
If you like your, God rest his soul, if you like your Carl Weathers and your Sylvester Stallones, your Arnolds, this one's fine. It's cheesy, but I mean, come on, it's of its time.
I've seen the Dungeon of Doom triple cage match with Hulk Hogan and Zeus involved. So that's close enough, right?
That's technically a sequel, so yeah.
Oh, I see.
It's a sequel. We got these two are no strangers to each other. We see a big sizzle reel of their past, from unlikely friends and tag team champions to Tori getting involved here and some betrayal, and Tori being, what was it? Maybe kidnapped during the holidays to have a getaway with DX and X-Pac. And it was like, oh, it was fine. X-Pac was a gentleman, basically saying he didn't try anything. He was nice. DX was nice. And then when another man would approach her backstage, even just pass her by, he would get paranoid and then say, hey, Kane, Big Boss Man touched me. That person touched me. Or they said something to me. They said that they were going to something me. I'm not going to say a certain word here. I'm trying to tiptoe around that. And then it was a ruse. She turns on Kane, breaks his big red heart, which brings back his not-so-estranged father, Paul Bearer. And that return on Raw that my last episode. Fantastic piece of cinema here.
That finish to that show is, that's legendary. That's good stuff.
That's Paul Bear. That's Paul Bear.
Good shit.
Outcomes just choke slamming everybody, including Tori. And Tori does eat a tombstone. Does he eat a tombstone in this match? I think she does.
She does. Yep.
Yeah. So Tori and Paul, they're taking turns getting involved here. Kane gets a backbreaker. X-Pac tries to leave. Nuh-uh. You're going back here. And it still holds barred. So if you walk away, the show's just going to sit there and continue. And Kane's going to sit there like.
Just for the rest of the show.
Just sit there and read a newspaper.
Crisscross applesauce in the middle of the ring.
And do the crossword. And I got crossword puzzles right under this desk for that very same purpose.
As Kane does.
Mm-hmm. We get a walk-in brawl, and we get them getting involved. There's this big cage at the entrance. I love Attitude Era elaborate entrances that have themes befitting of the show, like Backlash, like the swinging hooks at Backlash, or friggin' iconic, or the taxi junkyard car setup from the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, so this is the best era for pay-per-view sets, because you didn't have the big LED screens or the flashy barricades or whatever, but you had really, like, you could associate a set with a pay-per-view. Like you said, the hooks or the cars or the Armageddon set. I mean, they just all had their own personality to it. I miss that. It made shows feel like pay-per-views. It made them feel like special events. So that was one thing that I did note from this show that I did enjoy.
And then they were very unique. There's trash bins and stairs and the cage at the entrance. Kane gets his bell rung. We get a Bronco Buster, the super clothesline, the choke slam, a tombstone to Tori. But through all the shenanigans and the schmoz here, Kane has those big ass steps in his hand, but X-Pac kicks them into his face, sits on Kane, and that's how we have the win here. X-Pac beats Kane by kind of outsmarting him here. I thought that was a really fun match, and this is a feud that's going to go on for a while, maybe too long. How'd you like that one?
Yeah, the match was pretty fun as far as like a walk-in brawl, as you said. I enjoyed the portion where they were by the stage and using the cell set and the trash cans and all that. I enjoyed it. I mean, do you think it was a mistake to humanize Kane to this extent at this point?
I don't really think so. I mean, there was only so much mileage you can get out of a guy using a thing for a voice box and being silent or having these scars from a fire that wound up being emotional, and he wasn't really that burnt. There was only so much you can get out of that. So you really had to add new layers to Kane's lore. And there's a lot more crazy layers than that. If you've ever read his kayfabe book, which is just completely fabricated. Was it Journey into Dark? I think it's Journey into Darkness. It's batshit crazy, but it's...
I didn't know that was a kayfabe book. That makes me want to read it immediately now. That's so funny.
I used to be a Attitude Era podcast Patreon, and they had that, and just it could be a basis for the See No Evil movies. It's nuts. I think Katie Vick is mentioned in that book.
Of course she is. Big part of the story. By the way, did we bring up how Kane got hit with a flamethrower on SmackDown? Is before the this?
No. No, we
that was
did
in the video package. X-Pac hit him. He had a fucking flamethrower and is on the stage and just right into his face and knocks him down. But he has a mask on, which I guess protected him. So
related to that, to him leading up to WrestleMania 15 as well, I think.
I bet. I mean, at this point, Kane just needs to learn how to defend against fire. He needs to become a would that be an electric Pokemon? Water Pokemon?
No, I think he needs to stick with fire type. Maybe mix it up with He's a dark fire type, so he's basically Incineroar. Maybe he needs to mix in a little bit of rock type in there for or fighting type.
Right, so not Charizard.
No, not quite Charizard. Maybe a bit more Incineroar, or maybe the whatever the starter Pokemon is from the last game that's like a dark type with fire, and he's a crocodile.
Blue eyes, white dragon.
Yes.
Yeah,
That's exactly it. And yeah, humanizing Kane, I think eventually it had to happen as you built towards him being,
right.
unmasked and tombstoning people's wives and setting announcers on fire. So you had to keep going.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good point. I mean, you gotta have some layers to your personality other than guy that's tall and moves slow. So, but yeah, it was a weird, just like from one extreme to the other. It's like Kane's like, he's an evil zombie masked man, and then the next week he's like, oh, I'm in love with this lady. I'm giving her my big red penis, and now X-Pac is being mean to me. Now I'm sad, kind of thing. But I don't know, I guess it worked out in the end.
And even like the bit where he has the box here, and then Kane just tells him no, like whip it, throw it away, just get rid of it. You don't need it. And the suck
Suck it.
it. I should have given Kane the friggin' green attire. Just oh man, I can go on for that. That's another
Yeah.
fantasy book on its own. But Kyle, you can get a free No Way Out T-shirt if you send the WWE, your cable bill.
Oh, you gotta get a stamp and an envelope and send it in just to get a stupid white t-shirt with a square logo of Triple H on it. Did you ever get any of these?
I was going to ask you the same thing. No, but I didn't order. Like I was watching these in my buddy's basement. Like this era of the wrestling, we would pool together our allowances, paper route, whatever jobs we had. And watch like a lot of the AE pay-per-views, a lot of them. The first
Yeah.
pay-per-view I ordered at my house was like WrestleMania 21.
Oh, interesting.
And yeah, they didn't have any of those things back then. You can get like a mouse pad or you can get a like a pencil case, but the t-shirt was the best thing I've seen yet.
Man, they're clearly doing well, huh? This whole World Wrestling Federation just throwing out t-shirts willy-nilly.
Yeah, just like this Bray Wyatt one I have on right here. Just you keep on going. We got the Radicals and Michael Cole. Are you nervous about tonight? What is this? Prom night? By the way, prom night? No, I wasn't nervous about prom night. I almost didn't go to my senior prom, but then my friend wore a giant billboard that said "Send friends to prom," and even my teachers contributed to it.
Wow. Did you go with
Yeah.
anybody?
Technically, yes. And well, okay. Everyone I asked was like either going or already going with their boyfriends. But this one girl, yeah, she was technically my date, but she was there with her boyfriend. But that night they had a fight. So she was hanging out with me the whole
Hell
tournament.
yeah. Old rebound ski.
Oh, almost. Yeah, Yaksich, Jerry, if you're listening, or Ryan, if you're listening to this, thank you.
Bitch. Snooze, you lose.
Yes, we got to, speaking of pipes, not mine. No, didn't happen.
Yours in an L shape like Eddie's is?
No, more it's more like a baby carrot.
Oh, that's so it's cold and wet.
Yeah, grower.
Ah, right.
Yeah. That
Yeah.
that's why you don't. Yeah, that's why you don't see mine on people's DMs. Nuh-uh.
Right, that's why.
And because you're a freak if you do that. So Eddie's got an L pipe here. We got Too Cool and Rikishi versus the Radicals. There's a sign saying "Deport Eddie." He's American, for God's sake.
Man, that just because, like I said, like in the 2003 WWE, I'm watching, there's always a Eddie mows my lawn sign or something like that. But so they started right at the debut of this guy, which is like, Jesus, what a time.
I think that they were doing this when he was in WCW, But Eddie here, his first night on the job, like, I don't think he was even in a match. Like, you and I were talking about this on your Discord. Join the Apron Bump Podcast Discord while you're at it, and the Wrestle Attic Radio Discord, and the Wrestle Attic Radio Discord.
DP.
Join it. DP, yes, join DP, join both. You can do both. We were talking about this, where his first night on the job, he hits a frog splash on someone and just messes up his elbow, just tore it right up, his shoulder, his elbow. So he's got the brace on. He tries to get the L pipe. He gets smacked by Rikishi, right in his bad elbow, by the way.
That bitch.
And it's even funny. It's an elbow shaped pipe, which made this thing even more funny or ironic. We got Grandmaster, lots of layers. Grandmaster Sexay with a bulldog. Scotty's hat comes off, yet his hair stays up. I imagine he got a bit of Ben Stiller supply from There's Something About Mary. Got Rikishi and Benoit have a stink face-off here. These are two that they're going to be no strangers to each other, as they're going to be trading the King of the Ring and the IC title very, very soon. Jerry Lawler says, you know, smell of something about smell-o-vision or Rikishi's ass. What would that smell like?
Rikishi's ass. Well, I've heard that it smells good if he likes you. Like, I think there was a Matt Hardy interview where he said that he like baby powders it and gets it all nice and fresh for you. I think he said it smells, what was the word he used? Pleasant, I think. Something along those lines. So I think Rikishi has a nice keister as far as the interior goes.
Or Pete Rose infamously said at Hall of Fame, it smells like Aqua Velva.
Could do a lot worse than that.
Yeah, if he hates you, just watch out. If you mess with the BSK, nah, man.
You gotta come out looking like Tatanka.
What era, though? Was it heel Tatanka with all the makeup? Yeah, I'm not imagining that.
Either one. Depends on the day.
So Rikishi is selling his leg here. He super kicks with the good leg, standing on his bad leg, you idiot. The worm is denied by the great Malenko. Benoit with a suplex. A lot of double team moves here, including the demolition decapitation by the Radicals. Saturn hits a Hurricane Rana, which I never seen him hit. I clearly haven't watched ECW. Benoit has a bunch of chops. They're isolating Scotty in the corner. And we know we're leading to a hot tag, and we do. With Rikishi getting hot tagged in here, the Rikishi driver and the Bunzai on Stinko Malenko. We have a win here by Too Cool and Rikishi, which they have a dance-off, and Rikishi is still dancing with his bad knee. Too Cool are bad friends. No wonder he turned his back on them.
You think that's why? Because they made him dance with a bum leg.
Yeah, I mean, I'd do it.
No, it makes sense. It makes sense. You got all that pressure. You get the glasses. Yeah, Too Cool though, man. What a time. I mean, they were so over for a pretty short amount of time, maybe like a year or so. I don't know, but I mean, the dancing, the clapping, the crowd dancing along with them, and Rikishi was just, I mean, that big old keister of his was, everybody loved it for some reason. We don't really question it, but, and the Radicals were, I mean, just watching the four of these guys walk out there, that awesome theme song they had as well. Just four killers walking out there, a really fresh, like, injection into WWF at this point, because he didn't really have this, like, a lot of these technical wrestler type guys and on the roster at this point. So it was definitely a breath of fresh air for the company at this point. So would have loved to see them get the win here, or any wins at all in this time period. But it was a fine match. It was two of the highlights of this era, in my opinion, as far as factions go.
Fantastic. Kurt Angle, he's celebrating some more with the people. And then next up here, we got Maui versus Captain Insano for the number one contendership at WrestleMania, The Rock, and The Big Show. We had controversy at the Rumble, which I alluded to earlier. We had the somebody got a haircut. Still couldn't get a good angle. And then, of course, as I mentioned here, Jim Dotson gets involved. There's the big jacked-up security guy. And he's like, yeah, it's that. We see The Rock's choke slam mockery. I always pop for some rock mockery. Yeah,
this
even
is, this is peak rock. Peak rock on the mic at this, because Stone Cold's gone, so The Rock has the whole spotlight to himself, and he really turns it up. So, yeah, this is prime rock for sure.
Yeah, he calls the Big Show a Cody crybaby. The Rock is looking to finish his story, while Cody is looking to finish his ninth grade book report at this point in time.
I missed that part of the package.
I looked it up. Cody's a year younger than I.
Wow.
So we get this match here. Mania 2000 is going down more side streets than WrestleMania 40, and we're not even at Elimination Chamber yet.
Yeah.
This is a very short match. We get a SmackDown DDT. We get a Maz and a walking ball around the ring. A Spagingo that is a back body drop over the ramp. Big Show with a power slam. Rock with another DDT. Big Show with a sidewalk slam. Show gets the chair, but there's a ref bump here. A Hebner, I think, goes down. Get a choke slam. No referee, but out comes Tim White. But Hebner disallows the count, I guess, because there was a chair behind the referee's back. And then out comes Jane O'Mac.
Here comes the money.
Here comes the money, making his return for the first time since, I think it was like the Stephanie's wedding was maybe the last time we saw Shane McMahon.
I know him and Test had a really good match at SummerSlam a few months before this. That's the last I remember of him.
He was there for the wedding, and then Redacted got mad and just left, leaving the show to be run by Triple H, which is how we got the McMahon Helmsley era. So Rock gets a chair, and then in this amazing, impeccable, perfect timing spot where Rock hits the rock bottom, and as he's going for the people's elbow, Shane swoops under the ring, just flying chair shot right to the face. Like, man, say what you want about Shane, but that man had timing and he nailed him. And the Big Show is going to WrestleMania to finish his story. Or is he?
Could you imagine? Because at this point in the show, it's feasible that the main event of WrestleMania is Big Show versus Cactus Jack, which is just sounds like a fake match, but that was a very possible scenario at this point. But to your point, the match is whatever. Is The Rock, Big Show. It's all about story here, and Shane McMahon coming in, like you said, the timing of him sliding in the ring, picking up the chair, all while Rock is hitting the ropes, and then jumping and hitting the chair shot. If he, like, fumbled the chair or something, it would have all been awry, but Shane is just so good at this type of stuff, and we have a screw job finish and a reason to tune into Raw and see what's up with this all, so... It served a purpose, I guess, but knowing where this leads, it kind of leaves me like shrugging my shoulders, like, well, whatever. But it was The Rock, like I said, seeing The Rock at this point is always a treat. And Big Show, who I think JR said he's 28 years old, which makes sense, but he always feels like he's 40 years old. So that was both these guys are younger than me right now, which is wild. But
Yeah, they were both in there. Yeah, they were both very young. Yeah, because the Big Show, when he like debuted, he was like 24 years old.
Yeah, he was fresh. And by the way, also, it was very topical to see The Rock getting screwed out of his WrestleMania main event. So maybe he's just getting his revenge in 2024, huh?
Oh, I think so here. I'm really intrigued to see where that's going to go, by the way. Like, I'm just, everyone's... We want Cody. We want Rocky. We want Rocky to troll people. And this is the woe movement. It's Yes Movement 2.0. I'm just going to leave it at that.
No, I'm tuning in live to SmackDown this Friday for sure to see what old big dog and DJ are up to for sure. I'm very intrigued.
Indeed we are. And speaking of intrigue, we're here at the main event. It's Cactus Jack versus Triple H, career versus title in a Hell in a Cell match. Speaking of Mick Foley, quick sideburg. He wants to do a death match on his 60th birthday if he can drop like something like 100 pounds.
I see him doing it. Hey, if Ric Flair can wrestle, I think Ric Flair is what, at least 15 years older than Mick Foley,
he's like 75. Yeah,
how old's Mick Foley? He's probably
he's about to turn 60. I think this year he's turning 60, which makes him 20 years older than me. Holy cow!
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he could do smoke and mirrors. He can do exploding dildos on a pole, on a barbed wire croquet board or whatever. I don't know, but
cinematic.
They can make it. There could be a lot of smoke and mirrors involved. So Mick Foley, I mean, with as much crazy shit as he's done in his career, he can't really say no to anything as far as what he'll do or won't do,
or including what he'll do in this very match. We had the Royal Rumble, that historic, amazing street fight. Thank you, King Ricky, for coming on that show. That was very, very good. How can you one up this match? How can you top it? You plop a cage on top of it with a roof. And Mick Foley's like, oh, you want one? I want one more match with you. And Triple H's like, I have to get rid of you. I want one more match with you. Foley's like, all right, bitch, Hell in the Cell. Want me to pick the match? It's fucking Hell in the Cell match. Of course, you know, Triple H just gets aghast. And this is a historic feud that dates back to Monday Night Raw in Madison Square Garden, 1997. Also the same night that Steve Austin Stone Cold stunned Steven Richards.
In 97?
That's a no mercy for the N64 joke, kids.
Oh, you see, I have the game, actually. I've never played like the story mode or anything.
Redacted. Highly recommend the story mode. Many, many branches. So this promo here puts over the danger of the Hell in the Cell match. And this is not Mick Foley's first. In fact, he had like one on Raw before the King of the Ring. Another historic Hell in the Cell match that almost fucking killed him.
I forgot about that. Was that an actual match or was that just a deal where they like brought the cage down and fought in it?
There was like how Monday Night Raw ended and the cage came down. That was like right before King of the Ring.
Oh, you know what? They did that in 2003 as well before Triple H and Nash, which, funny enough, involved Mick Foley as a special guest referee. So on Raw, Foley and Triple H brawled inside the Hell in a Cell, 3 years after this, which seems like a lifetime, but yeah. This is the first Cell match after that famous one with Mick Foley and The Undertaker, which, if that context adds a lot to this, that this is only like the third or fourth Hell in a Cell match. And everybody's kind of going into this expecting them to top what they did last time with Mankind getting thrown off the cell a couple times and all that. So there was a lot of tension going into this match as a fan, because you know they're going to do some crazy shit.
They do that. But the second one that Mankind took was accident. Like when he got chokeslammed through the roof, that wasn't supposed to happen.
I believe it. Yeah, there's no way you can. I can't imagine, like, yeah, just put me through the cell and make me fall 10 feet to the wooden mat. Yeah, that'll be fine. No, that was.
I don't think it was. Don't really quote me, but it looks like it wasn't supposed to happen. But they made this Hell in the Cell. They designed it specifically. You know, Mick Foley here saying that main eventing WrestleMania, it's meant to be. Mick Foley here. Here I go again. He's going to finish his story. But first, Kurt Angle drunkenly sings, I am the champion. And Chris Jericho Pearl Harbors him and locks him in the trunk of a car. I thought he was going to take off and like grab him into oncoming traffic or something like that. But
how do you think Kurt got out of that trunk?
He probably had a tool. He probably had like every man carries like a pocket tool of some kind. He probably had something in his tights.
That's that. Intelligence eye of his. Always be prepared.
I need something like that. I'm not good with my hands, so I'd try it and probably slice myself open. But champion comes out. Champion's introduced first. Oh boy. JR calls Triple H's title reign the reign of terror. Brother, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Steiner's not even here, pal.
You're in the mix of that right now, actually.
It's not good.
And the cage comes down after they're both in there, which is kind of interesting because I was at a house show just after Christmas. It was Cody versus Damian Priest in the steel cage. Cage comes down first, and that's how they've done a lot of matches like that pretty much since.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, occasionally. Like, I know the Triple H Undertaker Hell in a Cell from WrestleMania 28, I think it was. I know there was that famous shot of the cage coming down around them. I think it adds some dramatic visuals.
That's because they had Metallica on the payroll, too.
Right. Then they would only give them their song if they could have it accompany the cage lowering. So,
Yeah. From Reload. Good album. There's a sign that says, Foley will die. Harsh.
I mean, it might be true, but that doesn't mean you have to say it.
I mean, we all do, but man, that's morbid. Damn. And then there's JR has a line here saying that with the brutality of this match, nobody's going to be kissing their sister tonight. That's because Mondays are kiss your sister and half off appetizers nights.
Is that also King of the Hill?
No, that's, I just wrote that down because I thought
it's just the thing you said.
I say stupid shit, Kyle. You should know this by now.
Yeah, I should.
So we have big locks being put onto the cage here, I guess, to keep Cactus Jack from climbing it and getting out or something.
Shouldn't there always be locks, though? You know, like, doesn't that defeat the purpose if there's no lock on the door?
Well, it was like locked, like super secure. But I'm like, what if someone like has a heart attack in there and you get in the bolt cutters and he dies before you get to them?
Well, all you got to do is get a truck full of hay, back it out there and rip the door off.
Exactly. That's, I might have to bring you back for that one.
That's the good one too.
That is a good one. So Triple H, he double locks to prevent from them going up top. There's a walk and brawl around the cage, big knee drop, big backdrop to the outside. Here come the toys. We got the steel chairs and everything. Cactus Jack is ran into the steps the only way that Mick Foley knows how to do that. I wonder if he's getting his hip resurfaced after this. Triple H just yeets the steps at Mick Foley. Like he's pressing C left and no mercy. He is right in his
fucking face. They're bringing that back, by the way, to 2K, the ability to throw weapons, which I'm looking forward to.
Dude, I pre-ordered that the second I saw the Road to WrestleMania thing.
Yeah, might be a good one. Like,
I'm ready. We get chair shots to the heads, DDTs. Cactus Jack takes the chair and goes right up Triple H's gooch with it. DDT on the chair. Russian leg sweep on the chair, which is new to me. That you'll hurt both you guys doing. Cactus Jack is dropped toll hold into a seated chair in the corner. Jack's head is sent into the cage. Triple H tries to hit a pile driver on the steps. He is knocked off, but Triple H is just right below the step, and he gets slingshotted from there into the cage, which I thought was a pretty unique and cool visual. That's how Triple H, he gets the blade out. Cactus elbow with the chair. You break through the cage with the ring steps, and then Foley's like, I wonder if just cannonballs himself right through them. He is out of the cage, and we know what's coming. We're climbing to the top. Oh, but first off, Foley has had enough of Triple H and gets Barbie.
He's had what? Sorry, I couldn't hear
he's
you.
He's had Ken. I was trying to reference the Barbie movie. He has had enough.
No, I heard you. I just wanted you to say it again.
So he gets the barbed wire bat here, and it has a little loop on it so he can put it around his back and climb up the Hell in a Cell with it.
Oh, that's nifty.
But first, Stephanie tries to stop him, grabs his leg. He growls at her. She bolts. So they're both fighting off the top of the cage. But first, before Cactus Jack could get up there, Triple H just takes him, puts him through the table at ringside. Cactus Jack gets up. He gets up.
God, it was a very tame version of the last cell match he was in. It was like the halfway up the cage deal, but that would not be all.
Also a bit safer. So Jack gets back up and he tries to throw a chair up the steel cage like several times, like to the point where the cameraman had to look at something else while he tries to
Triple H. Yeah.
Then just says, okay, fuck this. He climbs up again. Triple H has Barbie. He hits Foley with it. It sticks to the vest. It rips off a piece of his shirt, probably a piece of his skin. Cactus Jack gets the low blow. Almost Triple H at some point almost falls through the cage, and he would have landed at ringside by those steps that he was like, you know, slingshotted off of. He was a second away from having his pretty much his career ended right there. It would have been really bad.
Yeah.
And then we get a suplex on the chair, a cage, a DDT, and then Cactus Jack sees Barbie. He grabs it. Oh, no, no, no. He just doesn't get Barbie out. He sets the damn thing on fire.
You gotta flaming, add another layer to it, I guess.
Flaming 2x4 barbed wire. Awesome visual here. He hits Triple H with it a couple of times. But finally, the inevitable happens. He goes for another bit. Like, he was gonna, like, pile drive him on the flaming 2x4, it seemed. Which would have been... how on earth were you gonna do that? But he is backdropped through the cage, into the ring. The ring just implodes underneath him, leaves a big-ass imprint, a great visual. Holy shit, Chance, which I did not know were this far back.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, people were saying holy shit for a long time. Yeah.
In WWE, at least. ECW had him in, like, 93.
You had to do a lot to pull it out of the crowd for WWE at this point, though. And this one, I feel like, warrants it.
It absolutely does. And then they get back in the ring. Son of a bitch, Cactus Jack gets back up. He tries to fight back, but Triple H just keeps decking him. He keeps knocking him down. You get this Mick Foley, Cactus Jack. He is not giving up. He is not going down like this. But finally, pedigree. One pedigree is all it took. And still, World Heavyweight Champion, Triple H. The crowd just, you can hear the crowd deflate. Because you knew that this was the end of Mankind for about 2 weeks. And Mick walks away, despondent. Refuses medical attention. Goes up on his own accord. Gets the sad look on his face, which I think is going to be the logo for this week's podcast. Mick Foley's in-ring career is over, and he doesn't get to finish his story at WrestleMania and main event the big daddy of them all. But overall, there was a little bit of filler on this show. Of course, this was for some, this is a one-match show. It's a attraction. It's the steel cage. It's the Hell in the Cell. You had some good bits in it. You had some, like, the genesis, not of McGillicuddy, but the tag team division at this point in time, and little tweaks and things we're going to see between now and WrestleMania 2000 that just, you know, set the rest of the Attitude Era's course on. And yeah, Kyle, what'd you think of this? And you could plug your shit. Where can we find you?
Yeah, man. No Way Out 2000. It was a good show. I mean, 2000 is a really solid year. Probably one of the better pay-per-view years for WWE. WrestleMania, honestly, is probably one of the weaker shows of the year, and this one's probably in the back half too, but like you said, this kind of set the we planted seeds in this show for the tag division, like you said, but also for the main event scene. The Rock is on the rise, the Radicals are here, and they add a lot of depth to all these cards as well. So when these guys start getting more built up, they become more prominent parts of the show. You got Kurt Angle on the rise, Chris Jericho on the rise. So they got a lot of good stuff cooking in 2000. So a lot of good stuff on your end coming up. But yeah, No Way Out was a good show. The Hell in a Cell was fun. It was actually better than I remember it being, because I love that street fight from Royal Rumble. It's one of my favorite matches ever. And while this Hell in a Cell was different in that it felt like it was just the spectacle of the cage and like wondering what's going to happen, what big spot's going to happen, even though there was a lot of good brutality inside the cage. But I don't know if it topped the street fight at Royal Rumble, but it was a fun finish to the show. and lots of open-ended stuff coming out of it, and that's pretty hard. It's pretty apron. There's a lot of good bumps. There's a lot of good bumps on this show. But speaking of bump, the Apron Bump Podcast. There you go, smooth. You can check out the Apron Bump Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, as well as YouTube. Had my boy Fretz on a few times. We covered, what was it, In Your House 8 is what we most recently covered. Beware of Dog and Beware of Dog 2.
Oh, yes, two in one.
That was a great episode. So go check that out if you want just an introductory episode of the Apron Bump. But I cover a bunch of different timelines in wrestling. WWE, WCW, ECW, Ring of Honor, TNA, Progress Wrestling, and do it all chronologically, just like Fretz does here. So if you like the Fretzelmania podcast, you'll enjoy the Apron Bump, I think. Maybe not. He's handsomer. But add Apron Bump on all the social medias, apronbump.com for everything else, and my OnlyFans and my Grindr and my Fleshlights. So that's about all I got.
And Discord. He's on Discord, folks.
Discord. Like, I always forget to plug the fucking Discord. I stink.
Just like we are. We are Wrestle Addict Radio. Say it with me, kids. The cure for the common wrestling podcast. You can follow us on all the social medias. Addict_Wrestle on Twitter. Wrestle Addict Radio on Instagram. We have merch. Links. You'll get all the links here. We got a merch. We got our Discord. We always shoot the shit and have fun. Lately, it's been Kyle and a friend of the show, Thomas Austin, talking about God knows what and things I probably can't repeat on this podcast.
You got to get in there to find out, folks.
Get in there and find out. Follow me on all the social medias. I'm on everything. When I remember, I'm on Blue Sky and Threads, which I'm just probably going to get rid of those. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram at Fretzelmania, FRETZLE Mania. Yeah, Birch, Discord, Kyle, thank you very much for coming on this show. I'll probably be on yours again very soon, and I'll hit you up for a future episode. I think we actually tease what that just might be.
Was it the WCW show?
Armageddon?
Wrestling Society X, I think.
Yeah, we can do
we'll
that.
Figure it out.
we can do that one, too. We got to figure out one for you. So, folks, thank you very much, Kyle. Until next time, TTFN. Ta-ta for now. And as always, keep your stick on the ice.
This has been a Wrestle Addict Radio branded podcast.